Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number if you'd like to get in here. Astros lose again. 7-6. Paw Dusty with some questionable calls. Now, he did pinch hit Taylor Jones. At the time, Blummer and Callis were like, well, I don't know about this. This is interesting. There's got to be something wrong with Jordan because he hits lefties. So this is interesting, batting Taylor Jones. Now, it actually worked out because Taylor Jones doubled and he was knocked in by Aledmys Diaz to tie the game in the top of the eighth. But then the bottom of the eighth came. And second and third, because, well, they got a couple of hits. After two strikeouts, Yimi gives up a knock and then he gives up another knock. And then they steal second uncontested. And up comes Salvador Perez, and Salvador Perez hits one to right field. Paw Dusty said it was the right move because the guy after him was such a good hitter, as opposed to the guy at the plate who's their best hitter. Okay, all right. And then you could have brought in, I don't know, whatever, to face the lefty if that's what you wanted to do. But if you needed a lefty, then whatever. But they lost the game. Perez, they pitched to him, and whatever. So it's another game that the Astros have lost to a piss poor team. There's no other way to put it. Kansas City's terrible. They are just bad. And it's another example of yet the Astros not able to beat the Rams. If they were able to beat – if they were any good against bad teams – This team would be rolling into the playoffs. By far, they'd have the best record in baseball if they could just play at a decent clip against bad teams. So
just
now,
decent.
So now yesterday, Jeff Passan put out how many games teams have left against 500 teams. Look at the Padres.
That dude's my guy.
I know. That is your guy. Passan, you and Jeff Passan tight. So the Padres have only 3 games remaining against teams with records under 500.
How many?
3.
What?
They play the Diamondbacks for 3 games. Otherwise, they face the Giants for 10 games and the Dodgers for 9.
Holy.
Yeah, and they're clinging to a postseason a wild card spot. Just 3 games. The Giants only have 6 games left. The Athletics in the American League, of all the contenders, the Athletics have the fewest. They only have 6 games left against sub-500 teams. The team with the most games left against sub-500 teams, the Astros. They have 16 games left. Oh, now the Athletics only have 5. Oh, no, they have 6. They still have 6. The Astros have 16 games left. That's not a good thing. They have 16 games left against teams they can't beat. Sub-500 teams.
See, I dabbed because I was happy, and then I realized, oh, that's right. I guess we need 16 games against teams with winning over 500 records.
I want the Dodgers, the Giants, the Red Sox, the Rays.
Said
I want
no one ever, but
the A's.
That's just how the Astros roll.
The Yankees. That's how the Astros roll. They have got to play good teams. They've got 16 games left against teams that are sub-500. That's horrible. That's a bad thing because they can't beat them. They just don't. It's amazing what happens with this team. I guess it's What is it? What is it? It's inexplicable. It was like a couple of years ago. Remember when they couldn't win at home and they were great on the road?
Yeah.
It was just like.
It's the same thing.
And Reagan kept continued to say they just hate their families.
I still think there's something there. I still think there's something there.
When you look at the history of baseball, it's overwhelming how many more home games you win than road games.
But the Astros,
not everybody hates their families.
But the Astros were a road team.
They were a road team.
They didn't perform as well at home, and they don't perform as well against lesser teams. It's unusual that it's lasted this long. It's more than just a small sample size for the year. But the numbers show it. I'm a numbers guy. I can tell you that for a fact. The numbers show you that the Astros are just simply not as good against lesser teams. They play to that level of competition from run differential standpoint and just from, you know, I'd like to see, I wish I could just look up what the Astros pitchers, starters and relievers do against, and hitters for that matter, against just sub 500 teams, or have it broken down by winning percentages, what they do against these different level teams. Because I'm here to tell you, I'll bet you teams who are under 45% winning percentage, I'll bet you the Astros aren't even in the top half of the league from a hitting standpoint, and may only be near the top half of the league in a pitching from a pitching standpoint. It's just unbelievable that this happens. And yesterday they lose to the Royals in a back and forth game where they just ultimately the Astros bullpen let them down.
Yeah, and if you're interested in this analytics kind of stuff, then you should know that. Listen, Philadelphia should run away with the NL East. They have 24 games left. 24 games left with teams under 500.
Let me see if I can find any action on that.
They're only a game and a half out right now. They're a game and a half behind the Braves. The Braves, meanwhile, only have 14 games left. Like we mentioned, the Giants and the Padres have some work to do because they're not playing. They're playing all winning teams almost down the stretch. The Dodgers have 12 games left against teams below 500. Over in the American League, Seattle has a favorable schedule. Toronto has a favorable schedule.
Seattle,
so Boston.
Who cares about Seattle?
Well, you know what? Over the next week, the Astros have 9 games against the Mariners coming up over the next couple of weeks. So it's kind of a big deal. And you know what? It's good that the Mariners are still a good team because then they'll slap them around. They'll slap that stuff around.
Are they going to slap that stuff?
They're going to slap that stuff. They've got the Mariners. They've got the Mariners Friday through Sunday this week. Then they go to Seattle at the end of the month, and they've got 3 there. And then Seattle comes here again in September, 6th through the 8th. So 9 games by the 8th of September, you will have 9 games against Seattle, which is kind of a big deal. Seattle's, you know what, it's a pretty good baseball team. But you got 6 of those at home. And you know what? I want Seattle to continue to be a pretty good baseball team because otherwise the Astros will get their ass kicked against them. That's what the Astros do.
It's hard to beat a Seattle.
And you can't beat a Seattle.
Is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's exactly what I'm saying.
What'd you think about Carlos going yard? How about Carlos and Castro? How about Castro going Oppo Field?
Yeah, in the 9th inning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made it 7-6, gave you a shot.
Carlos said he crushed that pitch. He said, I crushed it.
Well, let's hear Carlos Correa's home run. He actually, you want to hear what it sounds like?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the sound of the ball and the bat. I think you're going to find out here that Carlos Correa crushed that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch. Listen very carefully. Go ahead, Aaron. Hear that?
Oh, hey.
Go back. Listen. Crushed it.
Well, I don't. What?
Okay, you can play the whole thing. Let's hear the whole thing.
Huh.
I want to relive this.
Oh, hey, Julia.
There is a drive. Deep to left field. That's a home run for Carlos Correa. And the Astros now lead 4-3 on Correa's 19th home run of the year.
That's right.
His quote was, I think I smoked it.
He did smoke it.
He did smoke it.
He did smoke it. It's good to see Carlos. Good to see Altuve, you know, hit the ball yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite Jake of all time for the Astros? Jake Mariznick or Jake Myers?
Oh, Jake Mariznick. He was on the World Series team.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Of all the Jakes. Aaron, who's your favorite Astros Jake? There's only 2 I can remember. I don't think there's been another Jake. I'm trying to think. Jacob. Oh, no. No, it's Jason Lane. Jake.
Yeah.
Jacob. Nope. I feel like those are it. So those are your two choices. Jake Myers or Jake Mariznick, Aaron? I know you're a big Astros fan. Who you got?
Probably Mariznick again because of the World Series and because wherever he went.
Pretty, too, though.
Pretty girls followed
him. Yeah.
No, yeah. He was a pretty man.
He could pull.
Like, he was the guy that if you were a single guy and you saw him in a bar, you just wait kind of around him because eventually the weakest of the herd will get picked off and you can get one of them. And they're still a good seven or eight without a problem.
Yeah. I like that. Where you kind
of trying
the herd, yeah, the herd can't. Not everyone can eat from the trough, you know. Everyone can eat from the trough, and you got, you know, maybe you get some spillage.
Speaking of eating from the trough,
it's a good strategy, Aaron, I like it.
Yordan, for those of you who didn't hear, Yordan Alvarez. If you were wondering why Taylor Jones was batting for Yordan Alvarez, it says here he had an upset stomach all game, and he's going to be checked by the doctor.
Are we calling it a tummy ache?
Well, and there's toilets near the dugout. You know, guys have to run in there. Can you imagine if you're sitting in the dugout? You're like, what the? What the bleep?
By the way,
Yordan, is that you again?
Oh, all you hear is Yordan flushing.
Oh, God. Yordan.
It's bad when you have to have a doctor check.
Go to the doctor.
Unless he's worried about stomach fluid just wrecking the whole team.
I don't know. You ever been so bad? I think I got to see a doctor.
So he might have had City barbecue.
That's what I'm wondering. Oh. If he had some burn-ins that weren't burned enough.
Kansas City barbecue will make you sick.
Could be.
You're used to Houston
it's
barbecue.
It's all right.
People
act like there's something special about Kansas City barbecue.
No.
Whatever. It made Yordan sick. Our
Jake Odorizzi is a lot of people's favorite, Jake.
Is it? I didn't even think to include him because there's no chance. It's either Myers or Mariznick.
I don't know. I kind of like Jake Odorizzi. Okay. He threw a good game.
Okay, then I'm sorry. I read you it. Who's your favorite Jake? Mariznick, Odorizzi, or Myers?
Okay, put them in order.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Odorizzi's last.
Yep.
There's no way around this one.
Who's been up for about, I don't know, 12 at-bats?
Yeah.
Smokes Odorizzi.
Yeah, well, he had a grand slam. He actually won a game for the Astros.
He had two runs in a game. Odorizzi, has he won any games for the Astros? It doesn't feel like it. I know he has.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it.
Hey, listen, there's always next year. You got him for another year on the contract. You're good.
Okay, so Pro Football Focus grades came out on the Texans.
Yep.
Yeah. So on the other side, Pro Football Focus. Do you trust Pro Football Focus?
Not grades.
No.
I mean, I look at them. I don't know that they're always way off, but this is one thing. Before we get to the grades, I got 5 offensive and 5 defensive that I pulled. Sometimes they match eye test, but keep in mind, limited snap counts. And if you do something really, really good or really, really bad, it has an inordinate. It has an inordinate effect on your grade. So,
like Tebow blocking. How do you think he graded out?
Oh my God, I need to check. You got to check. Probably that. Terrible.
Let's hope so. We'll do that on the other side. In the meantime,
Texas Custom Patios turning your house into a home. And they do it, and it's so simple. It's certainly not simple, but they make it seem simple. They come out with their evaluations. They can do it virtually, or they can do it in home. They'll take a look at your space. They will do a CAD drawing so you see exactly what the property is going to look like. You'll see an exact rendering that's amazing that shows you what you should expect. And that's what you get. They don't go over budget. Their budget is set up to where, and if there's anything that they need to correct, they correct it. It's their cost and it's their expense. So you don't have to worry about that. They stay on schedule. The only time that there's any schedule issues is if there's ridiculous amounts of rain. That's the only time. But they will have your patio. I mean, you need to get them working so that they can get your patio on time, done in time, so you can enjoy some nice weather. And even when it's in the 50s here in Houston, that's great patio weather. That's phenomenal patio weather. Check them out online at TexasCustomPatios.com or see what they did for my house. See the before and afters so you can envision what they can do for you at TCPLance.com.
I like that you're broken like me.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel.
fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, have you signed up for our ESPN 97.5 listener email yet? You can get the latest information on what's happening with your favorite radio station, including upcoming events, giveaways, and a chance to be highlighted as our listener of the week. Head to ESPN975.com and subscribe now. That's happening right here. Your favorite radio station. That's right, Art. Shut up. 713-780-3776. So, if I were to guess Pro Football Focus grades, you know, it's so funny. I was so excited about Davis Mills and the game he played. Yeah, he averaged 5.1 yards per attempt. I guess that's not great. You know, 11 completions and 112 yards, 22 attempts. I mean, but he was so much better than I expected. And I don't think Pro Football Focus has an over expectation ranking, because if they did, I think Davis Mills might be. Now, there were other guys that exceeded expectations.
See, I wasn't
Justin as, Fields.
Yeah, but and, I wasn't as crazy about. I thought he missed some really easy throws. I
was just Davis happy Mills he made any okay. and he had any completions.
Our bars are exceedingly low.
That's what I'm saying. It's true. Not Pro Football Focus isn't looking at it quite like I am. Because I would have made him, you know, in hockey, it's the three-star of the game. He would have been the three-star of the game because he actually exceeded all expectations that I had for him. So that's good. I'm happy. I'm pretty sure his PFF grade wasn't all that great. But for me, I'm going to judge it differently. I like exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
And so you got five offensive players and five defensive players.
Five offensive players, five defensive players. Let's see what you think of these grades. And the grades are, it's on a 100-point scale. So, I mean, it's relative to what we would be able to consume and understand. Let's start with offense. Max Sharping. Give me a guess on Max Sharping.
Max Sharping.
I actually watched Max Sharping fairly closely.
Yeah,
I watched
62.
51.2.
Okay.
Lower than I expected. I watched he and Justin Britt kind of carefully. Justin Britt.
54.8.
57.6.
Okay.
David Culley was asked, what do you think of your run blocking? Do you need it to get better? Oh, yeah, we do need it to get better. Like, okay.
You think? Because Philip Lindsay had nowhere to run.
No room.
Nowhere to run.
No room.
I felt bad for him. But he was winning with the first team that's really like the third team.
And Justin McCray.
There was no Tunstall. There was no Howard. There was no Roderick Johnson.
Yeah. Well, he's missing the two tackles. Is Justin McCray going to be the starter at guard?
He could be.
Well,
that's not a reaction.
Okay, Justin McCray. I got three offensive linemen for
okay.
you.
Okay. He had a 48.9.
58.5.
Oh, much higher than I thought.
Best of the best. Right there. Kiki QT. Kind of random, isn't it?
Yeah.
He played, though. He got some snaps.
Yeah, he did get some snaps. I'm going to go. He had a 61.
71.8.
Okay.
How about Cole Toner? Why did I get four offensive linemen?
I don't know.
I'm looking now, at this. I'm like, because you know what? In the 90s was Chris Conley. Chris Conley was in the 90s. But we had talked about him yesterday.
Yeah.
Chris Conley had some good catches and a relatively short amount of playing time. So he had...
He looked good.
Yeah, he had good numbers. He had good numbers. Cole Toner, 63.7.
Now, there's a chance Cole Toner. I saw.
He's not very strong. I don't think he'll.
Is he going to beat out Justin Britt?
No. Britt will be the starter. Cole Toner's not strong enough. I don't know that he makes the team. Cole Toner. We'll see. Lane Taylor hasn't. I mean, Lane Taylor from the back is not with the.
Marcus Cannon and
Marcus Cannon. I mean, these are veterans, and you assume they're going to make it. And James Campen, the offensive line coach, had Lane Taylor in Green Bay, so you assume there's a big advantage. Yeah. Marcus Cannon was traded for, and Nick Caseri, like, I can't see him not making the team. Defensively, here's some guys that I think that will interest you. Vincent Taylor, number 96.
Vincent Taylor had a nice game.
I felt like he had a nice game.
78.
60.2.
Really?
I mean, when he made plays, we definitely noticed him. Eric Murray, who was considered by many to be one of the top free agents acquisitions last year with an incredible 20.
He had a really nice play early, but then he got beat. I'm going to say Eric Murray had a 57.
73.5.
Yeah, okay.
I saw Eric Murray tackle humans,
yes,
which was cool. Make tackles after catches, which was cool. Listen, my bar is low. Even if he gives up a catch, I just want him to stop the person that caught the ball.
Yes, yes.
After last year, I have extraordinarily low bar for Eric Murray. An awful free agent signing last year. Grugier Hill. Kamu Grugier Hill.
He had to play behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to have a 82.
61.5. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it just doesn't match up.
Yeah.
A 61.5. Now, I did see some other plays where he gets stuck on blocks, and this wasn't totally shocking to me. But
the other guys are blocking too,
though,
right?
I
mean, are you going to get off a block every time?
I felt like he should have got a better than a 61.5. Yeah. Russ Blacklock, the first rounder from the year before. Well, second rounder.
98 or 42, I forget.
76.2.
Okay, right in the middle. Right in the middle.
And then this one is a good number, I think. Jordan Jenkins, the starting defensive end.
He made a few plays.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 78.
81.
81.
81-1. Did Whitney Merciless play the other day?
No one knows that. It's impossible to find out.
Aaron, did you see, was there a Whitney Merciless sighting that know of? Because I'm sitting here, I saw Jonathan Greenard make a play, sack.
Yeah, he had a strip sack.
Yeah, he had a really good rating, too.
He did, but who was he up against right there?
Well,
fourth quarter?
Nobody McGee?
Yeah.
Like everyone's up against.
That guy's selling insurance next week.
Yeah, but at least we're beating insurance salesmen this year. You know what? I'll take it. At least they're beating some insurance salesmen. So Jonathan Greenard, I saw Shaq Lawson. So at the edge, you got Jacob Martin, who got snaps, I think, with the first unit. Jacob Martin, Jonathan Greenard.
I didn't see Jacob Martin do much, though.
I didn't either.
No.
Jacob Martin, Jonathan Greenard, Shaq Lawson, and who did I mention? Jordan Jenkins. Where does Whitney fit? Those are 4-3 guys. Those are defensive ends in 4-3. Where's Whitney?
What do you mean? Where's Whitney?
I mean, Whitney.
We've been asking that for 2 years now.
I know, but
where's
Whitney? Actually, Whitney probably is going to be relied on ahead of Greenard. I mean, to be honest with you, more than likely, they would trust him more than Jonathan Greenard. Not more than Jacob Martin as a pass rusher. Not more than Jordan Jenkins. I don't think more than Shaq Lawson, who can actually play the run. Those are four guys who I think are going to play. I mean, three guys who will play ahead of
Whitney
Merciless. Is Whitney a linebacker? Are they going to play Whitney at linebacker? Like, what are they going to do with him?
Whitney is going to get the Isaiah Coulter treatment. He's going to get – you're not one of our guys. We picked up Jordan Jenkins. We picked up Shaq Lawson. We're going to play Kamu Grugier. We're going to play Neville Hughes. We're playing all these linebackers. We're playing all these defensive ends that we got. He's just not good enough. You're a Bill O'Brien casualty is what you are. Now we got to pay you a lot of money, but thank God you redid your deal. We gave you a bunch of cash up front. Go buy some restaurants. Have yourself, get yourself some good chefs with that money.
He's out. He's not with Chris Shepherd anymore.
Well,
so he's not in the restaurant game.
Did that fail miserably too?
No, I think there was I don't know if there's a falling out or what happened, but I've heard they're not together anymore. So, I think Whitney wants to be. Actually, you might be right because I think he does want to be maybe more involved with the restaurants. I'm not sure that restaurants. Somebody needs to let him know that, hey, you might get a company that's involved with gaming or something. Not restaurants.
Gaming. Speaking of gaming.
Yeah, we've got Gilton. What's his name?
Gilton Gross.
Gilton Gross, who's a gamer who is a...
he's going to be joining us a little bit.
Yeah, at 9:30. I will just tell you,
the gaming game is...
That's where the money is.
Well...
Not restaurants.
And listen, we're trying to play the hits here, okay?
Yeah.
And the gaming industry is so big.
I think you're going to want to hear Gilton Gross. At 9:30, he's going to join us. He's part of... What is his gaming group? It's called...
The Gross Guys or something.
No, it's called Legend of the Gross Clan. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's leader of the Gross Clan, who are, and yeah. he was named Most Aggressive Gamer of 2018.
Most aggressive gamer.
Most aggressive gamer of 2018. Well, so I'm...
What year was Leroy Jenkins? What year was that? Was about 2012?
Leroy Jenkins was like new. No. It was like 2004.
Four?
Yeah.
Leroy
they just had,
Jenkins.
They just had he was, a... He had I think be. It might have been 2005 because they had a some type of anniversary for it.
So he...
Leroy!
He had to be
oh
most aggressive.
Oh, my God, Leroy. What are you doing?
He had to be yeah, most he aggressive. Has,
no, in that year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say he's
2004.
Like the, I'd say he's
a Mount Rushmore.
He's the icon of, yeah. of aggressive gamers.
He's a Mount Rushmore gamer.
Leroy Jenkins.
All right. When we come back, Roosh Williams is going to join us to talk about the Rockets preseason.
And Jalen Green had some ugly things to say about the city of Detroit, too. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, what? For what? Why would I want to go to Detroit? We'll tell you what he said about Detroit. I have to tell you, it was not completely unexpected.
No. So we'll talk to Roosh. Great great guys on the Noble and Roosh show. And we'll have him on. Doc Linville, that's a great guy, too. I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best way to get hair, this is my man, Doc Linville. He is awesome. I love what he's done for me and what he will do for you. The process is so simple. I was at work. I did it on Friday. I was at work on Monday. Fred did it Friday. He was at work on Friday. He did his afternoon show that day. That's how different it is. The way that they used to cut your head and all of the blood and all over the, it was really, really awful. This process is so much easier. And in about 7-8 months later, you have got the benefit of what he did. And the neo-grafting is just spectacular. And the doc is spectacular. That everybody that works there, they can't be better. The whole thing you're going to love. And it's all because of one guy, and it's Dr. Linville. So if you're looking to get hair, if you're sick of being bald like I was, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
World of my little boy. I've been saving more than I've been spending. That's what I be on.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roosh Williams joining us once again here on the show. We had him in studio a little while ago. Roosh is got good stuff going on. He's also the Noble and Roosh Show. You can follow him at Roosh Williams, at Roosh Williams on Twitter. What's up, Roosh?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks so much for having me.
We appreciate you being here. So, give us your main, Jalen Green is obviously the main takeaway, right, from Summer League. Shutting him down, it's okay. But what we've seen from him just exceeded expectations?
I think so. I mean, I thought he was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be as electric as he was.
I think more than just that, Roosh, is that more than just electric, he looked like a player who is going to fit into a high-volume scoring role and an explosive playmaking role because he has the ability. I mean, he was 10 of 19 from three, John. 10 of 19 from three. 19 of 37 from the field in Summer League. His ability to shoot from the perimeter and create space with step-back threes and shoot at a very good clip. And then once he gets into the paint, how dangerous he is, I mean – he looked like, Roosh, he looked like today's NBA number one guy for a team. That's what he looked like.
Yeah, I mean, his draft comps coming in have been to Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine. A lot of people compare him to those two guys, meaning he's mainly a shooting guard scorer prototype, right? And it's kind of funny because the Rockets go from a guy that kind of dribbled the ball a lot with James Harden to a guy in Jalen Green who just kind of comes in, gets touches, catches, shoots, moves off of the ball, and he's actually really lethal off the ball. I mean, a lot of the things he did happened with him moving, catching, shooting threes in that last game. I think he only played the first half of that last game before he had hamstring tightness, and he was just running off screens, catching, shooting, cutting, catching, finishing. You can see the potential that he has with the ball in his hands. I wanted to see him operate off the pick and roll as a creator, and he kind of showed us some very legitimate flashes of his ability to create off the dribble and create for others. He has just insane quickness, a very smooth step back already. It's like an NBA-ready move. So I'm excited about the kid. I mean, and defensively, you know, there were a lot of questions about him defensively, but you can see that all of the tools are there. He might need to bulk up just a little bit, but his effort is there and his desire is there, and that's like half the battle, right? So he looks NBA-ready. I'm really excited to see him run next to John Wall, next to Kevin Porter Jr., and kind of see what he can bring to the table.
Which begs the question, because Christopher has looked pretty good too, but is there room for Christopher as long as, you know, Eric Gordon is still around, as long as John Wall is still around? You got Porter, you got Green. I mean, is there what you've seen so far of Christopher, is there still a place for him, or you think that's going to be a developmental thing?
I think Christopher's going to start off developmental. Now, that's going to depend on if they clear some space with trades, because that could always happen. You never know if they trade John Wall or if they trade Eric Gordon or if they're able to end up trading both. But I think Christopher showed a lot of potential and a lot of flashes. His shot selection was still kind of poor. His field goal percentage, I think, was very poor. He's got to find himself. He can shoot the mid-range. His three-point shot is there's some work left to be done from that perspective. And I think you've got to fulfill his playmaking potential. You could see it when you watch the games that he's got it. But he's still just a step slow in terms of making the right pass at the right time. But I'll tell you who's looking NBA ready. And that was Alperen Şengün. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch him, mm-hmm. but that kid has some game, man.
Yeah. There's a reason they package up a couple future firsts to go up and get him, because they had him rated way higher than where he fell. And the other thing, we had Rafael Stone on to talk about his draft, and he was very excited about Şengün, and I think that having a young player that you can build in the front court, he's a creator. I know some people said, look, at his very, very best, maybe he could be Jokic, maybe, and that's a huge comparison. But from an analytics standpoint, the multiple people who delve in the more than delve, who live in the world of analytics, said he was the top analytics choice in the entire draft, even more so than Cade Cunningham. And most people believe that he is not going to be a bust. Like, there's just no chance. He's got a really high floor.
Yeah, I mean, this is totally my guess, but I think that Şengün was the compromise pick in the front office. The Rockets brought in a lot of guys that are analytic focused, some guys from the Stephian that do a lot of draft stuff on Twitter. And Şengün seems like their darling pick. He also seems like the compromise pick between the guys that wanted Jalen Green and the guys that wanted Evan Mobley. So I think they went out and got Jalen Green, and then they got like this analytic darling big, which is Şengün. 6'9", I think his wingspan is about 7 feet. What I was not expecting, he's got a very high floor. He's got very high IQ. You can see the comparisons, like you said, Jokic. You can see kind of some Domantas Sabonis. Kind of reminds me a lot of Luis Scola back when Scola was with the Rockets. But if you remember, Scola joined, I think, in his late 20s, and Shangoon's just turned 19. So sky's the limit. But he averaged 14.5 points a game, just a shade under 11 rebounds per game, just a shade under 3 assists per game. And then what I was not expecting and was a pleasant surprise is he averaged 3 blocks per game. His timing, he's not the greatest athlete, but his timing was really incredible, which kind of speaks to his IQ, his timing in terms of shot blocking. And I don't think his arms are that long, but they're kind of deceivingly long. He's able to, his explosion is also deceiving. He's not a crazy, athlete that's going to posterize you, but he's able to kind of explode off of 2 feet and finish with authority, both with the ball in his hands at the rim and in terms of shot blocking, especially from the weak side. I mean, sky's the limit. You can run offense through the guy from the top of the key. You can run offense through him from the post. Once he gets a 3-point shot down, I expect a lot from Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, no, he showed flashes. He didn't shoot all that well. I think it was 3-for-10 in his first game, but the rebounds and that was especially his. He's not all that strong, and he played in a league where, obviously it's not, the talent isn't as good, But
his timing, Rafael. You missed it because Rafael was you weren't here when Rafael was on. But there's something weird about his timing. Like as Roosh mentioned, there's just something different about his ability to time his leaps to where he was dunking on people. He's not this big explosive leaper, but no. In all the videos that you see, his catch dunks, his ability to elevate on people and dunk, even though it's not there's something about he has a great feel for his own internal timing, and I think that's going to help from a playmaking standpoint. I'm really excited about when I read that John Hollinger said the chances of him busting are basically nil, and he is the top analytics, and Chad Ford had that. He's the top analytics guy on the board, more so than anyone else. That got me excited before
what
the
will,
draft.
What will – can he replace Olynyk?
I think so. And I think that that's got something to do with, you know, kind of why Olynyk's gone and why they drafted him. I'm not saying that they made that decision based exclusively on that, but I think that they kind of decided, okay, we can replace a lot of what Kelly Olynyk brought, maybe not shooting, but I think you get an increase in playmaking, and I think you definitely get, a ton more potential and an increase in defense. Like Lance said, his timing on defense is kind of insane, and he's not just kind of getting his fingertips on the ball. He's throwing the ball out. Like, he's swatting the heck out of the ball into the stands. And he did it against NBA players. He did it against Evan Mobley. Pretty sure he got Cade Cunningham, you know, so it just doesn't feel like a fluke. And I feel like there's going to be some issues. I think, John, you mentioned the shooting percentages. He was 43% from the field. I think some of that had to do with, he made some great moves and missed some easy layups at the basket. And he also had kind of those sequences where he'd miss a few layups, get his rebound, miss it, get the rebound, and then finish it. So I'm waiting to see how the field goal percentage actually plays out, because if he is, you know, the analytics darling that we're kind of talking about, I think that the field goal percentage will improve. I think he's going to take a minute to get adjusted just in terms of game speed. His lateral quickness is not great, and I think that when he gets kind of mixed up in pick and roll coverages, we'll see that somewhat. But, like I said, I don't think I've ever seen a big at age 19 that has this high of a floor, that's this just ready to play NBA basketball and create with the ball and do all the little things that he did. He's got a ton of post moves. His footwork is already pretty incredible. I'm really excited to see this guy play basketball with the Houston Rockets.
Did you watch any of the Olympics? Where does Garuba fit in?
Garuba, yeah, I did watch the Olympics. So Garuba was pretty awesome in the limited time that we saw him in the Olympics. He had some stretches playing great defense on Luka, playing great defense on Jason Tatum. He looked a little mixed up in the summer league. The first game I'm going to give him a pass for, because I think he came directly from Madrid and just kind of landed and played jet lagged and tired. So I'll give him a pass. The second game, you kind of saw the flashes of what we hope Garuba can be. I think he's already ready to be an impactful help side defender. I think he's going to have to get adjusted to the speed of the NBA game. Just in terms of his lateral quickness, there were times where he got blown by on the perimeter. And I think he's going to have to figure out, you know, hey, anyone that I switch on in the NBA is going to be able to drive to the rack. And I need to be prepared for that, because I don't think he was. But once he gets acclimated, I think, you know, his body type looks a lot like Draymond's to me, except he's bigger, taller. And he just does those little things, you know, crashes the board, gets the extra rebound. You can already see, guys that have like an NBA body, like a 6'7", kind of, like I said, Jason Tatum, Luka, maybe even like a Paul George. He's already equipped to guard those guys, and I think the international experience helps him as well. My guess is that Josh Christopher is going to go down to the G League to start off. Mm-hmm. I think Garuba will need some time in the G League to start off. And I think Jalen Green and Şengün are going to be ready to play from day one.
Yeah, you're not going to have three. Highly doubtful you're going to have three rookies in a rotation. So why not? Why not give them some? Let them get playing time down there. That's probably the best way to go. Probably the best way to go about it. All right, hey Roosh, we appreciate it, man. At Roosh Williams, Noble and Roosh Show. You can find that where you find pie. Where is it?
Anywhere you get Apple. Podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all that. We just had Onyeka Okongwu of the Atlanta Hawks, so give us a listen.
All right. Roosh, man, we appreciate it. Good stuff. We'll be talking a lot more as we get closer to this season. I think it's going to be fun. I think these guys are going to make this fun. I'm excited.
For the first time in a long time, yeah. I am excited about the young talent. When have you had young talent?
None.
You don't?
No.
You got to go back to, I guess Clint Capela.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow released by the Jaguars.
Well, he was horrible.
All those embarrassing.
He was awful.
Just get
off. Tim Tebow released. And when we come back, man, we really haven't touched on this Trevor Bauer thing. Let's we'll touch on it on the. We'll touch on it. I don't want to put it that way. We'll talk about Trevor Bauer on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about HRP. HRP.net. Mike and Chris and Kevin and Chad and all of the people over there are awesome. And they're going to come to your business. Here's the way it works out. You give them a call or go to the website, HRP.net, and they'll come to your business and they'll sit down with you and they'll customize a plan that's perfect for your business. And that's awfully important in this industry because, you know, every business is different. Your needs are different. Everything is different about your business than other businesses. So they're going to customize a perfect plan for you guys, what your needs are as far as your HR and your payroll goes. And then they're going to help you out and get you hooked up with another company that's going to do your benefits packages because they don't do benefits packages. And this is where you're going to save money because they're going to find you the best benefits packages in the business. So if you're looking for a company that is going to be just for you, like they're just for us, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. The Dean of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, the league, and I don't know, Trevor Bauer may be here. His parents have a home in the Woodlands, right? Mm-hmm. He may be. We've seen him in the offseason.
Actually, Houston is kind of a good place to lay low, honestly.
It really is.
We don't have any type of paparazzi. People don't really mess with you in restaurants. Like, it is a good place to lay low.
Yeah. He's had his leave extended to August 20th. It's so weird. You know, this is an even weirder situation than Deshaun's almost. His leave just continues to be extended and there's no end in sight. I don't see him going. Do you see any chance he goes back to the Dodgers? I mean, he just signed a huge contract with them, and they're almost going to have to pay this whole thing off, and dude won't pitch. I really don't see, as talented as he is, Cy Young, he's out there, obviously. He threw the baseball in the center field bleachers, and he's so, you know, volatile, but he's also so talented. Yet, there's zero chance for me. What organization is going to bring him in? Hey, everybody, look who we got. The general manager with his arm around Trevor Bauer.
He's really good, though.
He's really good.
Really good, Trumps. That's not me talking about condoning anything. I'm just saying this is the way sports works. Really good players get so many chances.
Listen, Jamie Tartt couldn't find work, okay? So I'm not sure that Trevor Bauer can.
Wait, Jamie Tartt.
Yeah, Ted Lasso. Oh, are you on
Jamie? Yeah, Jamie. Oh, well, I'm on season two, but only like...
Oh, I'm
only one yet. Episode
What
in.
Are you in?
I haven't started season two yet. I was waiting to build up.
I'm going
to
tell you, I'm not giving anything away.
Jamie has a bad dad.
I think Trevor's got a good dad.
I don't know. I'll tell you this much, Jamie. When I see you playing great, I hope you play the best game of the year. Like, I wish Ted Lasso was the coach.
I'm going to tell you about, Ted Cullen.
You just had the same thought I did. Ted Lasso's coaching the Texans. Did it hit you at the same time as me?
David Culley, who's a junkie.
Play the analytics one from today. How about this?
Yeah,
this yesterday.
I know
this.
Analytics has those things out there.
Hey, listen, listen, boys. I don't know if analytics has anything for us in the soccer world, but we're going to do the best we can to get out there and win. I'm like, oh my God. Why did I, how did I not see, and actually,
oh, you haven't seen
have
those comparisons on Twitter?
People have tweeted, yeah, people have tweeted that before.
They tweeted,
I don't know why it didn't
after
really
his first
fully
press
land.
Conference, they were like, oh, you hired Ted Lasso.
Yeah, they're job. Right. We did hire Ted Cully Lasso.
Like accent, everything.
You yeah, I don't know
Ted
why
it
that
kinda
hasn't
is.
Lit. I've seen the tweets, they've been directed to me. And I don't, and I just kind of, oh, yeah, okay.
Wait.
They were right.
Somebody took the glasses off finally.
Yeah. Wow. David Lasso, Ted Cully. It's the same.
I don't.
Because he is. Okay. Let me run a check mark. Let me run it. Was he. I'm just going to run down. Yeah. You just give me. Aaron, can you get a bell ready?
Ding.
Some type of. Yeah. Can you get a ding like a bell ready?
Ding.
Tell me when you have them. Because I'm going to run down a checklist.
All right.
And you tell me. I'm going to run down a Ted Lasso checklist. And then you tell me if that's also a David Cully. You ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Was not expected ever by anyone to be the manager of this team.
Ding.
Okay. So that's a yes. All right. Has no prior head coaching experience in this position.
All right. I got one.
Okay.
Was hired to lose games.
I mean, I don't think so, but I can't rule it out.
Don't. Okay.
I can't really compare the owners. They're very different of the two teams. Cal McNairn and that one lady.
Yeah.
I can't really compare the two. Is always upbeat and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Has a love and obsession with food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's for people.
Feels like he'll only be here a year to 2 years max.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People inside his own sport can't believe the things he says.
Yes. Makes analogies that you're just like, what? Now what now?
The top players in his locker room look at him like, nah. Bud.
Clearly doesn't feel like he's the most savvy of the coaches on his staff. Because, you know, there's that other guy that seems to give.
He's an analytics guy.
Even the guy who's the trainer. he turns into a coach.
Right.
What else? Do you see any more parallels that we're not thinking of?
Mm.
Okay. Well, they got relegated. I mean, in season one, they get relegated. They didn't have success.
Spoiler alert,
although we find
watched.
That out in season two. But,
yeah.
So they get relegated. Okay. Will the Texans get relegated, i.e. have one of the top three picks in the draft next year? Yeah.
That's the Coach Cully. We'll run into somebody in the hallway and say, what's the word, Larry Bird? It sounds like something he would say.
I mean.
Now, do you think he would recreate the entire Allen Iverson practice speech, Coach Cully?
Maybe.
Well, you know, he sounds kind of like he's got that same.
All right, I've got Ted Lasso.
We're talking about practice. We're talking about junky food.
All right, I'm just going to read a quote.
Okay.
And you tell me if it's
Coach Cully.
You tell me if it's Cully or Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
Okay,
right.
Here it is. Taking on a challenge is a lot like riding a horse. If you're comfortable while you're doing it, you're probably doing it all wrong.
Coach Cully.
That's Ted Lasso.
That's Ted Lasso.
Yeah, I knew that was
how about this one?
All right.
How about this one? I always thought the tea was just going to taste like hot brown water. And you know what? I was right. It's horrible. No, thank you.
Oh, that's Ted Lasso.
That's Ted Lasso,
okay.
For sure. I don't know about analytics, but I do know it has something out there for you. Here, can you play that quote from Ted? I think it's from Ted Lasso, but I don't want to give it away.
See.
Here.
I know analytics has those things out there.
Okay.
Ted Lasso.
No, that's actually
that's
David
Cully.
Cully. Yeah, that's David Cully.
Oh.
How about this one? Who said this one?
I'm going to tell you about David Cully, who's a junkie.
I gave it away because he gave his name out.
That one is Coach Cully. That one is definitely Coach Cully.
All right.
All right.
Or was it Ted Lasso going as Coach Cully
as
for
Coach,
Halloween?
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't
all
know.
All right, who said this? I believe in hope. I believe in believe.
Coach Culley.
No, that's Ted Lasso. Yeah. Oh. Or maybe both, actually. That would be, it's actually.
No. That's
it
sounds,
actually could be
that
both.
That sounds a lot like.
Hey, how many countries are in this country? Who said that when they were in Europe? David Culley or Ted Lasso? Hey, how many countries are in this country? Be curious, not judgmental.
That's Coach Culley for sure.
That's Ted Lasso also.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right. So,
oh, now, who said this? Who could potentially say this to a cornerback out there?
All right.
You know what the happiest animal on the earth is? It's a goldfish. You know why? Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Vernon.
Coach Culley.
Yeah, I just changed the name Sam to Vernon.
Okay.
Because it could be Coach Culley. He could be saying it this year.
He could be. All right. When we come back, that was our Trevor Bauer segment.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think Trevor Bauer's going back to the.
Hey, by the way.
To the thing.
So when we come back, the AP Top 25 poll is out, and we'll show you where all of our teams land here in the great state of Texas. Right now, though, visit Lafayette. Visit Lafayette. My peeps are over there. I love Lafayette. Matter of fact, I'm on a text thread right now with a bunch of people from Lafayette. My wife's family. But we love Lafayette. We go there all the time. The food is spectacular. You cannot go to Lafayette and not go and eat great, great food and enjoy great music every single day of the week. There's not a day you can't find where you wouldn't find music going on. Monday nights, yeah, sure. Of course there's music going on. There's always music going on. There's festivals this fall if you want to check out Lafayette and see. But right now, they got something going on called Eat Lafayette, where you go and the restaurants are discounting for the summer. They're having a great program where they're trying to get people to go out more. Now that COVID is done, it's just 3.5 hours down the road. It's easy. It's affordable. The hotel rooms are cheap and affordable. And you're going to have yourself a great weekend. All kinds of stuff to do for everybody, no matter how old you are. You're looking to go and have some fun in Lafayette. Go to LafayetteTravel.com. That's LafayetteTravel.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.